Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. You are now invited to listen to the second in a two-part webinar discussion entitled Unleashing AI in the Caribbean. Featured speakers are Misha Loban-Clark, Executive Director of the BCCI, and Dimitri Gittens, IT Risk Officer of the Central Bank of Trinidad and Tobago.
So just to make a few notes on this slide, and then I'll move into the examples. There's the argument, of course, that from the tourism side, we could use it to personalize tourist experiences. On the climate vulnerability side, AI-driven disaster recovery is becoming more of a thing, even environmental monitoring and protection. In terms of the disparity between rural and urban areas, I'm not aware of any examples today in the Caribbean, but we could use it to make allocation and investment decisions. Which communities benefit from certain kinds of investments or certain kinds of infrastructure projects? And then, of course, in terms of talent and brain drain, like was mentioned, AI can work wonders in the world of training and skills development. So it really is a good option for teams who may be pressed to hire and retain talent in specific areas. You know, you could augment the technology solutions. So in terms of focusing our attention, which is extremely important, there are a few different ways we can look at it. So my argument would be there's, of course, the level of society. So the individual level, you could say the organization, whether that be business, nonprofit, civil society, or government. We could look at it from an economic sector point of view. So tourism, agro-processing, manufacturing, or a functional or a more process-oriented view. So from here, a lot of the content skews towards business, but on the functional or process side, you could just think of your use at home. So you cook, you may have to do maintenance, you may have to entertain your family on a games night. AI does have use cases for each of those. So ChatGPT being an easy example, give me recipes that I can cook with one sweet potato, one onion, and a box of evaporated milk. So again, just a random wild example that you could always think about. On the process or functional view from the business perspective, of course, marketing, planning, finance, risk management. You just think of the disciplines in your business, take a look at your org chart, and you could focus your attention on problems there or goals that you have in those domains, increasing efficiency, et cetera. And of course, from a government perspective, resource management and planning, or maybe service delivery. So what you're really doing is saying AI could be beneficial. We have a sense as to how to measure benefit. And now we're starting to ask, so where do we apply it or what do we unleash it on? And these are just a few of the different perspectives that we can go ahead and target. So as I mentioned, a lot of the content from this point becomes skewed towards the business and government with a few examples. Like Leslie said, I was pressed to find a lot of strong examples across the region of companies using AI. I think in large part, that's due to two reasons. One, they aren't developing their own AI capabilities. They're using tools built by others. So they're less likely to market or advertise on that strength. So they're using it potentially to improve internal operations, but it isn't necessarily something you're going to see a lot of. And then the second part of it really is a lot of the AI business conversations are dominated by vendors who say our products are AI enabled. So that's a slightly different kind of conversation. But just interacting with peers, we see a lot of easy conversations around AI at the individual level. So there are indirect benefits, of course. When businesses implement AI, consumers benefit if those implementations are successful. So Amazon, Google, Walmart, Target, quite often large retailers with strong AI and data-driven ecosystems know more about your potential purchasing patterns than you might know before you decide to make a purchase. So some of that is AI-based planning and AI-based marketing, AI-based lead generation, product placement, everything. Netflix also does it as well in terms of your recommendations for what to watch. So Gen AI at the individual level enables creative pursuits, personalized learning. So we don't necessarily need to be data scientists to play in the AI arena. But if you were curious, I want to learn Python. You could have lesson plans developed. You could have a blueprint or a roadmap for learning these things. If I wanted to learn Spanish, or if I wanted to learn, I don't know, basic cake decorating, again, AI tools could help you to build these blueprints. And combined with other trends, AI could open opportunities. And I'll leave this one for one of our examples around healthcare, so I won't dig into that one just yet. So just moving sector to sector or across industries at different levels of society, I'll make a few examples. So when we think of agriculture, again, this is a place where I was hard-pressed to find a lot of local examples, strong local examples. There have been inclinations towards using AI. There have been some regional discussions among civil society groups, university, et cetera. But in essence, one of the good use cases of AI in the agricultural sector is not using it alone, but combining it with other technologies. And this is a trend we'll see. So when we think of unleashing AI, you pair your AI with drones and you automatically multiply the utility. So we could quite likely use robotics and AI together to address labor issues. How does AI help farmers who may be pressed for staff? Could we have machines working alongside humans? Climate change and just inefficiencies in operation. So your human operator has to go to bed at a certain time. But you could have machinery harvesting or planting or seeding or weeding at hours of the day that, you know, can be quite productive. In some communities, there's the idea that some crops are better planted at night. So again, there we go. Yeah, it could support that. I'm not sure if this is a reality everywhere. I'm almost certain it is. I'd be willing to bet. But there are always issues with supply and demand in agriculture. So you'd see a farmer saying, we have excessive amounts of onions or potatoes and we have no buyers, cucumbers. And then a few weeks later, you'd be seeing consumers saying, we can't find onions or potatoes or cucumbers. It's crazy. So the AI and capability around data analytics could unlock the ability to improve crop planning. And it's not simply a question of crop planning from the farmer's point of view, but from a demand point of view, agricultural cooperatives could quite likely, with good data, make better predictions as to what to grow. So the farmer's choice as to what to plant, when to plant it is one factor. But on the demand side of it, when should I make these decisions based on market trends or typically what the AI system is telling me based on historical data? And the last point I think is quite interesting. And this ties into the idea of specialist issues or specialist demand. Farmers by design are good at their jobs when it comes to certain tasks, but there are always going to be tasks outside of the scope or capability of some farmers, and they require specialist support. When you're living in a large geographic area and this support is few and far between, it could be problematic, you know. But if we were to involve AI-based solutions in, let's say, pest detection and management, you take a picture, you upload this to an AI-based platform, and it tells you what you're seeing on your plant is likely disease X or, you know, insect Y. That could go quite a long way. It could be real time. It could be on demand. And if done proportionally, you may be able to make decisions. If it's a widespread outbreak, you may still need that specialist to drive a few miles to your farm. But if it's a few plants, maybe an AI-based solution gives you good value. So again, going back to the question of benefit, the net positive may be there where it may be worth the effort to, you know, have AI systems go ahead and help you to make some decisions. But as I mentioned, there's always the gray side of it. For some communities, one of the things we'll need to think about is how do we sensitize our market? So again, farmers is a good place, a good example. They're not the only one. Any unleashing of AI in the agricultural industry is going to be highly dependent on how we engage with the farming community. Do they understand the value? Do they understand the benefit? Because for farmers, is it productive to spend time with a phone in hand engaging with AI, or should I just go to field and try to do something? You know, and then again, in terms of cost and benefit, you know, how can I easily connect those dots? By nature, their industries may not be the type that trend as well as traditional manufacturing or production. So the point I'm making here is, even though we're talking benefit of AI and how to deploy and unleash AI, we still need to be mindful of potential pitfalls or barriers. And I think I'm doing reasonably well on time. Terry, just let me know. I have a few examples I can run through to cover this space. If I'm going a bit over, I can always pause for questions.
Okay,
But I wanted.
you can go
Awesome.
ahead,
Yeah, just
Mushri.
let me know. So one of the places AI excels, and Narayan mentioned this, is largely in terms of analytics. In essence, because of AI's ability to excel at analysis of data, being probabilistic, and then of course being able to make generalizations. In environments that are highly based on ratios and patterns, production as an example, we could use AI to monitor patterns, trends, and draw conclusions. So if I were a manufacturer and I bake pies, and let's say 50 pies, sorry, 50 apples were used to make 10 pies, giving me $300 in sales, over time, AI notices patterns, it notices trends. And this is a very simple example, but the idea really is, what do we unleash it on? And in production environments, we do have data. We have recipes, we have ingredients, we have customer orders, we have recalls, we have promotional performance, we have performance of hardware. So let's say your ovens are running at full optimization. If the data set is rich in a production environment, and if the tools are correct, you could use AI-based tools to then say, well, where is my ratio skewed towards one thing or the other? Is this fraud? Is this inefficiency? Or is this area for improvement? Even in terms of planning, again, if maybe vendor one gives you 50 apples and you have 10 pies, you could use this same AI-based capability and rich data to easily identify that vendor two, the quality of their apples requires you to maybe use 70 apples to get those same 10 pies. Could humans do this? Fair question. Yes. The argument is there that this level of planning could be done by human operators, but as Leslie demonstrated with his hours example, we're talking about AI as a force multiplier, the ability to do these things faster, cheaper, and quite often in a way that outperforms the human operator, simply based on its natural aptitude for dealing with the numbers, et cetera. So shifting focus to tourism for just a second, and this is a place where I was able to find some references around or how the Caribbean is seeing, whether directly or indirectly, the benefits of AI as a tourism enabler. So cruise operators being the first example here. So apparently, the stated goal is to become more sustainable and to better serve guests. I'd argue money is involved as well. But I mean, businesses are in business to make money. And ultimately, while that may be the outcome, there are benefits for society as well as bottom line. So Caribbean cruise operators are using AI to collect vast amounts of data, and they're using this data to anticipate customer needs and provide personalized service. This isn't limited to cruises. This can be done in almost any industry. So again, leaning on my previous presenters and their content, you'll notice Leslie gave you a list of industries which in essence are good touch points for unleashing AI. So this experience could be applied anywhere really that's customer driven. And it's not just personalized service. They're also using it to have competitive advantage. So again, it's not simply about sustainability or access or ethics. For business, a lot of the times it's about being shrewd and about performance and about future and about longevity. And in essence, about outperforming your competitors. So are you worried about AI taking over your job, or are you worried about someone using AI to outperform you? So again, the concept there really is AI is going to enable and support, and AI on its own isn't going to do much. You really need to worry about those businesses or those persons who will outperform you by using AI. And the last point highlighted there is the use of AI to anticipate future trends and deliver unique experiences. So Carnival Corporation, Royal Caribbean is doing it as well. What they're in essence doing, they're using software solutions, in the case of Carnival Neptune, to monitor and manage their ships. position, speed, direction, air quality. So their goal really is to reduce costs, fuel costs, operational costs. So from a production point of view, they're not gaining, but what they're doing is really reducing expenses and reducing risk around running their ships. And this is nothing new. We've been using decision-based systems, database systems in the tourism industry for quite a while. So we try to connect potential travelers with properties and destinations based on what we know of them. The difference today being AI's adaptability and scalability, its flexibility allows you to be way more dynamic. So traditional systems are very rules-based. So if today I said I like the beach, rules-based systems will push me towards the beach. Notwithstanding, today, I still like the beach, but AI systems with rich data sets will be able to say, I like the beach, but I don't like the cold. So maybe I don't want to go to Bermuda. And as we add more and more data on top of a profile of a person, AI systems are able to refine and tweak. And if for whatever reason tomorrow, my entire pattern change by the nature of being adaptable and self-learning, AI systems will gradually pivot towards my new pattern in a way that traditional systems may not be able to with the same level of flexibility. Of course, once we start to talk about tourism and using data for decision-making, we typically need to wonder about privacy and security. If you're familiar with the privacy space, GDPR is a thing, is a burden. The target market for the kind of GDPR concerns, typically you'll hear persons speaking to the European Union. Just for a second, pause and think of where a lot of our tourists come from, and you start to realize, hey, we need to protect their information. So again, we unleash technology in tourism. We unleash AI in tourism, but we do need to be mindful of the benefit. So while we may gain on the cost side of it, while it may benefit us in terms of long-term viability, we do need to wonder, are we balancing these benefits? So are we covering the risk around data privacy and security? I think I'll cover this one and then I'll pause and check on any questions. So in financial fraud management, this is a no-brainer. This is something we've been doing for quite a while. The argument I'm making here is it becomes more interesting when you think of AI and what could happen with rich data sets. So there's a concept called open finance, and in essence, it speaks to institutions being able to share data freely. So if you assume your small credit union uses AI to detect fraud, what happens when that small credit union is able to share with other institutions? What happens when they have real-time access to the data of others? Well, the argument being made by the fraud benchmarking report is that too many organizations still rely on their own internal data, but collaboration could lead to a better understanding of fraud patterns and emerging trends and threats. Again, we see the idea that data is key, and having more data, structured data, well-organized data, could be beneficial. 61% of organizations want to do more in terms of sharing and partnering. Again, the benefit here from a Caribbean perspective is some of our islands are small, and again, I use that term loosely. Our footprints may feel small. I use that term very loosely, but there are millions of us in the region, and they're extremely vast and diverse skill sets. Unleashing AI in the Caribbean benefits from collaboration, which is why events like this help, which is why persons engaging and talking, it helps. So what happens when together we share ideas, when we pool, when we build out digital public infrastructures, when we go open source with our solutions, we benefit. And just to pivot to the question of open source, the concept of AI for disaster risk management is, again, something that's been growing. So after Hurricane Maria in 2017, this is actually a very good real example I was able to find as well. Open source technology and IBM Watson was used to have drones support the mapping of damage and identifying areas that needed assistance and support. And it really made a difference because there were millions of people, over 3 million people impacted by Hurricane Maria. And it actually sped up the ability to deliver resources and support and save lives. So the World Economic Forum's analysis of the project actually showed that you could actually reduce the time required for damage assessments by about 40%. simply by having AI-enabled drones take care of a lot of the monitoring, scanning, mapping. And in a nutshell, the underlying bits and bolts of this was to say, we train drones, again, pattern recognition. We deploy them with machine learning models, and they were actually trained in simulated environments. So we didn't have to wait for a hurricane to go ahead and do the training. So from a benefits point of view, it was clear that there's a societal benefit, culturally and ethically, of course, it fits into our reality. And then on top of this, you know, the benefits are there, 40% increase in the ability to deliver aid. So I think I'll pause here, Terry, and take any questions. See if there's anything in the chat and waiting.
Hi, there's one question. Can you point us in the right direction to exploring AI in the financial banking sector? Also, seeing that it was removed.
Oh, I'm still seeing it here. I think Leslie did respond.
All so, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What right. companies and mm-hmm. any examples? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think for this one, I do understand it'll be something addressed in the panel discussion as well. But to just preempt what I think I'd say there, AI in the financial services sector is interesting. If we take the process view, marketing, retail, risk management, fraud, internal operations, you could use it in a number of different places. I think one of the things you'll need to consider is when trying to unleash AI on financial services or your organization, what are your regulatory obligations? So the regulator may require you, and again, this is me in my personal capacity, the regulator may require you to handle customer information in a certain way, whether that be around sharing or transparency, even decision-making, or they may mandate that certain decisions be made by human operators. So I think that's one of the first kinds of considerations. And then to Leslie's point earlier in his demonstration, and a point I made as well, it's a good question. Do we need AI and what are we using it for? You know, how do we see it benefiting us? So internal operations, IT operations may quite likely use AI to support some of their cybersecurity efforts. But let's say decision-making around loans or credit products, you may still prefer to have a human operator, but you may use AI as a decision support system. So credit scoring or the credit risk management or whatever the case may be, a lot of those decisions could be supported by AI models which score customers and can then be refined by human operators. So I think those are the things that I drift towards when exploring AI. I won't be able to name specific companies. As I said, I think a lot of what's happening is the existing large players around fraud management, operational efficiency, marketing, sales, graphic design, they're all integrating AI into their platforms. So Microsoft Copilot, if you take a look at Canva, they've been using it, Facebook, Google. So every major technology vendor is drifting towards AI integration. So do we have any other questions, Terry?
Someone was asking, what is a realistic timeline for implementation of AI in the Caribbean, particularly in the tourism and agricultural sectors, which are still our main sectors in Barbados? And I think this will be our last question first to move over to the panel discussion, because a lot of these questions will be addressed in the panel discussion.
Yeah, I know. Fair point. So that's a good segue as well. So I think I start by saying, if we go back to the concept of the benefits, you ask yourself, what are the policy goals really? So the question of timeline is always going to feel subjective. I think there's some things that are important to us, like inherently are significantly important, and we want to move faster on those things. There's a technical reality, which is governments sometimes move slow. But I do think because some of the tools are freely available open source, we could use them in some ways today. So it has to be strategic. So it's hard for me to definitively say what a timeline would be. But my argument would be, one, be strategic. To have a sense as to what's important to you and prioritize that, and whether that be based on it being low-hanging fruit or high value. And then three, build a blueprint or a roadmap. And that may require support, but the goal is to start today, because if you don't, you're going to lag. And ultimately, take a lesson from AI, which is adaptable and self-learning, and it grows and it develops. You don't have to start with a perfect solution. You quite likely could start today in a smaller capacity and bloom and develop and go from there.
That concludes a two-part webinar discussion on Unleashing AI in the Caribbean. Featured presenters were Misha Laban Clark, Executive Director of the BCCI, and Demetra Gittens, IT Risk Officer of the Central Bank of Trinidad and Tobago. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.